Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Again in the air, down the left field line, a long reaching into the stands and couldn't get it. He's littered with a fan.
That's awfully close to fan interference right there. The umpire's all over it. The umpire right down there, Mike Everett's on the play. If Alou has to reach into the stands, it's fair game for the fans to catch the ball. If the fan reaches out over the field, then it can be ruled fan interference. That is very, very close.
Can you believe we're still talking about this? We did a little bit yesterday. We're just going to wrap it up today since Frank Murtha from Professional Sports Consultants was kind enough to join us. He is a longtime friend and attorney for Steve Bartman, the man who was described in that play. Hey, Frank, it's John Williams. Thanks for joining us again on WGN.
My pleasure, John. Good to talk to you again.
Incidentally, are you a longtime friend of Steve Bartman? Didn't the two of you go to school together? Weren't you both at Notre Dame?
No. I mean, he was a friend of one of my children. We share a common bond in that he is a graduate of Notre Dame, as am I, but it would be an insult to Steve if he was in the same class.
Oh, no, you're both young and debonair.
That's right. That's right. As Satchel Paige used to say, you know, age is just mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter.
So he reached out to you after that and said, hey, can you give me a hand? And you've been his de facto spokesperson ever since, basically saying, no, he won't comment on this for 14 years now, right?
That's right. That's right. It's, as Yogi Berra used to say, is deja vu all over again.
Well, I have a question about him getting the World Series ring. In a day filled with news in the state, in the city, in the country, in the world, above the fold in the Chicago Tribune today, the big story, Bartman gets a ring. Who reached out to whom? How did this deal come to be?
We were really approached by the Tribune organization as far back as the time when they won the series. You know, there was an invitation extended if Steve wanted to be part of the parade. And as I think I said publicly at the time, in no way did he want to do that to be a distraction to the players and the great accomplishments that they had achieved and the organization. So we demurred, you know, to that. And then, you know, there's been an open dialogue. I mean, even going back to prior ownership and John McDonough, you know, the organization has always said that Steve is welcome there, but from security standpoints and other issues, that was just a non-starter.
Well, but you said Tribune a moment ago. You meant the Ricketts? The Ricketts reached out to him? Tribune doesn't own the Cubs anymore.
No, the Ricketts reached out now, but I'm saying going back to
even
the
then,
time
huh?
of ownership by the Tribune when John McDonough and others were over there.
So there's been an offer on the table for a while to sort of do a reunification, although only recently. McDonough didn't have the opportunity to give him a World Series ring, but the Ricketts
did.
No,
absolutely not. That came entirely from Tom and Crane Kenny and you know, the other members of the organization.
What do you know about the timing of this? It seemed to me a little odd, and a lot of us were really taken aback by it. How was it that yesterday was the day?
Well, it was really a combination of trying to coordinate schedules, mine notwithstanding, because Steve did want me to be present, but we were trying to coordinate Tom's schedule, Theo's schedule, Crane's schedule. You know, once the decision was made by Steve that he would graciously accept the ring, so there was no particular, you know, newsworthy incident. I mean, it happened to actually fall on the trading deadline, although Theo had made his trade, I think, the day before. So it wasn't intended, John, to be you know, a day of particular significance.
I got it.
How our schedules mesh, because I've been spending a lot of time in Florida working on another project and the like. So
sure, I got it. Well, so does he have the ring?
He does.
And does he wear it?
He's not wearing it now. You know, I'm sure He may, but I think most people that get those rings, in my experience with some of my athletic clients who are lucky enough to get a Super Bowl or a championship ring, they tend to put them in a safety deposit box.
Yeah, no kidding. And they're almost impossible to wear unless you want people to talk about the ring.
Exactly. I mean, you know, one of our issues with Steve has been, sadly, his personal security. And it's really a very large ring, one of the larger championship rings that I've seen in my experience. So you can't miss somebody wearing it, that's for sure. But it's
so Steve Bertrand and I, our news guy, got into quite a conversation about this yesterday. And I think we came at it from different points of view, although in general we're leaning in the same direction. We had some disagreements.
Oh, it's all good. But so, Frank, you seem to indicate there, and maybe I just missed this earlier, did Tom Ricketts personally give it to Steve? I mean, was there sort of a meeting with everyone together? And if so, was it at the ballpark?
Yes, we met at the executive offices, and Tom presented the ring to Steve personally.
What was the personal interaction there? What did they say to each other?
Well, I mean, without getting into, you know, I don't want to say that they were confidential conversations. It was more of a personal discussion about Steve and what he'd been doing. It was just really kind of a free-flowing kind of conversation. There was nothing scripted at all. You know, we talked about everything from baseball and the Cubs to, you know, a few things that were going on and some baseball things, you know, that were happening that day. So
you're doing a terrible job selling this moment, Frank. I just want you to know I'm listening for a soundbite, and you are not delivering.
We all
sir.
Want to cry, Frank.
Were there any tears?
I would like there to say that there was a burning bush, and there was, you know, a bolt of lightning from somewhere, and that Tom or Steve or Theo or Crane had a particular script, but it was simply, you know, four or five people sitting around, and clearly the organization, you know, making their thoughts known that this was, you know, a small gesture on their part, and that they appreciated what Steve had been through, and he had some very heartfelt, as he is. I mean, the statement that was released to the media was, you know, 99% written by Steve, as was his final statement 14 years ago. Those are literally his words, not some public relations person or mine.
Are there plans for any sort of appearance with the Cubs?
No, there's no set plans on that. You know, it's been made clear that, you know, he's welcome at the park or anything else at any time, but there's no future schedule set at this time.
Does he go to games, Frank?
I have not commented on that in 14 years, and I won't start this afternoon.
I think I know why, but tell me why.
Just simply because were he to, you know, believe it or not, you know, there still have been, you know, security threats, not recently, and we're hoping, obviously, that the events of the last 9 months, you would think that the passage of 14 years would be part of it. But, you know, whether it's social media or actual calls, sometimes there's threats, which is a sad commentary on society and where we're at. And I think one of the things that Steve touched on in a few sentences was, and I've said this myself in my own business, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that sports is just a game. You know, it's not life or death. We have life or death things taking place in the world every day. It's a form of entertainment. You all are in the entertainment business. I'm involved tangentially in the entertainment business. But sometimes sports takes on an aura, an importance far greater than it deserves. And certainly this incident, this game, you know, did that in epic proportions.
Yeah, no argument about that. Frank Murth is on the line. He's a sports consultant and attorney, a friend of the Bartmans, his son, you said, and Steve were
Daughter was friends.
We're friends, and you've been representing him ever since that famous game in 2003. Yeah, I get that. You know, we were kind of deciphering the verbiage both from the Cubs and from Mr. Bartman yesterday, and I thought it had your touch or the touch of some sort of marketing person. It seemed to me to be a little corporate speak, a little sports marketing speak, and I don't mind that. Well, I think the most important thing is, were those his thoughts? Were those his experiences? And it was sort of chastising everybody for, as you just said, taking the game too seriously, for making a scapegoat out of somebody who doesn't deserve it. And words like burden were used in there, and life, and welcoming back. And it sounded like it was really painful for him to have endured all this time.
It was, John. There's no denying that. I mean, athletes obviously are subject to criticism if they make a bad play, but they're criticized in the media, and it comes and it goes, and it's forgotten. You know, this was unique. This was sui generis. I mean, there certainly was there was no marketing intentions with that, because, as you know, and as history has borne us out, Steve has not tried to profit one penny from this, and certainly could have. Early on, when things were offered to him, we turned them over to the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation in honor of Ron Santo, and we've consistently turned down what you might call marketing opportunities or appearance fees.
How much money could he have made? I mean,
I would put it in the millions easily. You know, I mean, just without a question.
And he's like Bigfoot to a lot of us. You kind of believe there's one out there. Other people have never seen it and don't really know if there is a Bartman. This is a guy that still lives in the area, still is a Cubs fan, still goes to work every day. And yet I have not seen a picture of him. Maybe some folks have, but it's remarkable how you can hide in an era of smartphones if you really want to. And evidently he really wants to.
He does, and again, it's not the type of life, John, don't misunderstand me, that he wants or has sought. It's an existence that has been required. I mean, he recently graduated and got an MBA from Notre Dame. He has a high position in finance, and, you know, believe it or not, without going into the details, there were some special security things that, with the consent of the university, that we took place so as not to spoil that moment of achievement for him, but not to perhaps subject him to a current photograph or whatnot. And it is not what he nor I, you know, in any way desire, that type of anonymity. And certainly we hope that there will come a time when that would not be necessary. You know, I didn't necessarily think it was funny, but the New York Post writer during the series said that if Osama bin Laden had hired me, he'd still be alive.
Frank Murtha, right? Yeah, no kidding.
Compliment.
So Frank, you're the expert, but I wonder sometimes if it would go away if you just ripped the Band-Aid off and came out and became much more public, that the longer Steve stays intentionally out of the spotlight, sort of the longer it drags on. And I just wonder what your thinking is on that.
Especially now, since, boy, people would embrace him if he came out. But
I mean, believe me, that's not a new thought, and it's a good one. And I've had a debate with one of my brothers, among others, about that. And it's certainly something that, you know, we'll give further consideration to. I realize that the more Greta Garbo-like, and I don't mean to draw that total analogy to it, and I understand where you're coming from with that comment, that it does. You know, it's something certainly that Steve will continue to weigh, and he does not, you know, relish this, you know, kind of existence. Some years ago, when ESPN reporter, or at least an online reporter, followed him from his place of work, and wrote a story, and kind of literally ambushed journalism, jumped out of a bush kind of unprofessional, but that was a while ago.
I just think it's tacky that I saw his ring on eBay yesterday, and I thought it was quick, you know, the instant.
Yeah, it was a little quick. Now you've got a good sense of humor there, John, but you won't see that there. I can tell you that.
One last thing. Just people in general are wondering what he's up to. You mentioned that he's got his MBA. He works in finance.
Yeah, he still works for the same.
Does he coach a little league team? Is he married? Does he have kids?
He's single. He has... has been steadily promoted by a big name international company. He's done well with them. They have been very supportive, certainly, of the notoriety of this as it periodically poked its head out of the ground. And as he said in his statement, he's looking forward to moving forward, and we don't realize, I think the one thing that I have said is that when, if, and as he chooses to make a statement or appearance or speak, it'll be at a time, method, and manner of his choosing. But I think it's something that, we're going to give continued consideration to. And right. I think this was a good step forward.
Yeah.
Winning was a good step forward.
All right. I got to go, Frank. Thank you for your time. Sure. the invitation remains. If you and he just stroll into our studio someday, you, Frank Murtha, his attorney, and he, Steve Bartman, maybe low key is the way to go. Just say, hey, we're walking down Michigan Avenue. Hey, there's John Williams.
He just happened to turn in. There's Williams.
And there's Williams. Hey, let's go in and just say hi. He will not get a fairer and more considerate and more fascinating interview if he comes into our studio. Okay.
I don't doubt that, John. I've always had a great deal of respect for you and your work product on the air. And I know you're back from the Northwoods for a while yet,
I'll stick around. All right, Frank. Well, thanks. That wasn't a yes, I'll bring him by, but I'll take it.
No, that was a yes. I heard it definitely yes.
Oh, did you hear that as a yes?
Goodbye, Frank. We'll see you later.
All right, you guys take care.
Frank Murtha, I represent Steve Bartman.